from their speakers, authors, and real-life rock stars, bringing you life-changing thoughts that rock, taking conversation all the way to 11.
Most shows only go to 10.
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? These go to 11. To 11.
This is Thoughts That Rock. Now, here are your hosts, Jim Knight and Brant Menswar.
Peter Brady version.
You'll say,
we've got nothing in common. No common ground to start from.
And we're falling apart.
You'll say it.
The world has come between us. Our lives have come between us.
Still, I know no, you don't
just
care.
Don't care. You know what I don't care about?
And I say, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's?
What accent was that?
I don't know. I was having too much fun doing Peter Brady.
You're doing Peter Brady.
When it's time for change. Remember that episode?
I don't.
You don't remember when they were all dancing and they sang when it's time to change and his voice was cracking and they had to...
No, I remember when they were lost in the Grand Canyon.
Instead of it being a crutch, Jim, they featured it and they were like, look at this young boy going through menopause.
Listen, I'm going to say this one time. Stay off of Nick at Night, okay?
All right, my bad.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on Thoughts That Rock. I remember that. That was Jan, right?
No.
It was a Marsha. Marsha got her nose
Marsha got her nose bashed in.
Believe it or not, this is not a 90s throwback episode. This is the podcast that is about exchanging two pieces of life-changing advice. Squeeze to about 30 minutes. We call it Thoughts That Rock.
That's right. We ring out a couple of good thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is sponsored by Bookie Call.
Bookie Call.
It's our innovative book discovery platform, cleverly disguised as a dating app.
I love that.
We match people with compatible books.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. You can download it on iOS. You can download it on Android. Most of all, it's just a ton of fun and a great way to spend 20, 30 minutes on your phone in the bathroom finding out what you're going to read next.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And listen, if you like this show, I'm talking about Thoughts That Rock. I mean, yes. You could do the same thing with Bookie Call. We're always really appreciating the fact that you guys give us some feedback.
That's right.
And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time. If you could take a second to just give us a rating and a review, a written review. Five is what you're looking
five
for?
Five stars in a one word, like stunning.
Does it matter the number of words that you have in there?
No.
Not really.
I don't think all so. Right. I mean, write a dissertation if you want to.
Wouldn't it be funny if we just had a whole bunch, like 100 people putting stunning on there?
Yes.
Like that's the word of the day. We don't really do word of the day.
Handsome.
For one of us, for sure. Listen, every time you do that, that helps grow the show. And when it does, we get more downloads. When that happens, we like to write checks because, you know, we're trying to help out some great philanthropic partners of ours. Like,
that's right. Show growth leads to us being able to... It sounds so wrong.
It does.
Hey, show growth. That's our next podcast. Join us on an episode of Show Growth.
Show Growth.
How to get dozens of listeners.
Transition that to the next point.
Listen, that growth allows us to support Cannonball Kids Cancer.
They're awesome.
The work they do, finding treatment for kids who've run out of options. They do amazing work. You can check out how to be involved at cannonballkidscancer.org.
Yeah, and we know how busy you are. And grabbing some time to get away from the rat race that is probably your life, we get it. You're busy, and stepping away to do stuff like this takes a little bit of time. But listen, it's worth it.
Yep.
But those moments are hard to come by, right?
They are.
Which is why it doesn't really matter what you're doing right now. You could be doing something else while you're listening to the show.
Right.
For instance, maybe you're, I don't know, attending a Marie Kondo seminar.
Oh, just put this over here.
Maybe you're burning bras at a Southern rock concert.
My boobs.
Maybe you're still trying to cancel your membership to Columbia House Records.
I swear, Johnny Mathis was my last CD.
Doesn't matter to us. We just want to be the 30 minutes you've been looking forward to all week.
Bye-bye.
Welcome, everybody, to a very different and special episode of Thoughts That Rock. Yes, It is your favorite podcast, and normally we are going to be exchanging two pieces of life-changing advice, but today we're going to do something different. We thought it would be nice to spend a little bit of time talking about normally our sponsor, but it is also really our sister company. It might actually be the main company
at this point.
Of which Fawcett Rock now falls underneath, because that's where our future is. It's Bookie Call. That's right. It is the you know, well, how would you say? It's a book discovery platform.
It's Tinder for books.
Tinder for books.
That's what it is.
Cleverly disguised as a dating app.
We match people with books instead of people.
Yeah. Because so let's talk about that.
People suck.
Data book.
That's it.
I like it. Oh, did you hear a different voice?
I did. To? I tried to.
It's not Boo.
That's right.
No, it's definitely not Boo. Yes, we, for the first time, have Nicole, who is in the studio with us. Hi, Nicole.
Hey.
So, Nicole, explain to everybody what it is that you do and how you fit into the grand scheme of Bookie Call.
Nice. So, I am the VP of Sales and Marketing at Bookie Call, which essentially means that I get to spend my day talking with authors and publishers, trying to figure out how we can help them promote their books and help people go on dates with their books.
Yeah, and so we probably ought to explain to them what exactly is Bookie Call. I know when we're doing Thoughts at Rock, we have a little bit of fun with it. We're talking 2, 3, 4 sentences to sort of give them a high-level approach. But the whole reason we wanted to do this episode is to really dive deep, but to explain to people this is both for authors and publishers, but really for the average book lover, people that just enjoy, they're madly in love with reading books. Some of these people are reading 2-3 books a week, sometimes a book a day. Those are the voracious readers that we're trying to get to, and we wanted to do something a little bit different. So, Brant, maybe walk us through as to how this thing got started, and ultimately we can talk about the details of the app itself.
Sure. Well, I think the idea was sort of born out of Bookstar PR, right? So we have a sort of digital book promotion company that we started just over a year ago. That was born out of frustration of dealing with traditional book publicists, the exorbitant costs, and the very minimal effort and results that come from it. And could we come up with an affordable alternative for your average author who can't afford $10,000 a month for a book publicist? And so, you know, we started with Bookstar PR and started to promote books digitally using influencers and different sort of stuff that we would use in the music business to try to find alternative ways to promote books. So getting you listed for different quotes in your book so that you can become a reference and a source that's quoted in articles and things around the web. But ideally for us, we decided we'd have to find a better, there had to be a better way. And one of the things we noticed in the publishing world is they really sort of up until now have ignored a large portion of how people choose to connect in the digital world. There are 44 million people in the United States that use dating apps every day. These are apps that are designed to find compatible matches. So we sort of had this idea of what if we use that same idea, the same process, the same psychology, and built an app that functioned like a dating app, but would match people with books. They could set their preferences, what they like and don't like, how much they like them, and let the algorithm start to match them, just like eHarmony or Match or Tinder or any of these other ones that are out there. And so we started on that journey. We found a local company in the Orlando area to sort of build our MVP, the first version of this app. And then we went out and found an incredible team. So we brought on Keisha, Dr. Keisha Horner, who is our chief content officer. And she sort of serves as our grammar patrol and helping all of the sort of corralling the writers and figuring out how to get these things into the app itself and the editing of managing of the editors and writers themselves. We have writers all over the world. And then we brought Nicole on board, and Nicole has sort of served several functions for us as she continues to grow and show us that she has so many talents, we have to figure out the best place for her. And so she started off as our creative content director and sort of worked with the writers and editors and learned sort of that side of it first, and then decided she really loves talking to people about the app. She was on a local radio show that did really, that appearance was fantastic, and she did so good. And so I'm like, why don't you just sort of jump over to the sales side? And so she's been.
Keisha wasn't as happy.
She was not as happy. I was thrilled. She was not as happy. But fortunately, we had some incredibly talented editors that have sort of been able to step up and enlarge their roles within Bookie Call. And so here we are 5 months after launch. We've had 250,000 downloads. We have about 40,000 active users every month.
Which is incredible in the app world.
We are the fastest growing book discovery app in the world. And that's super exciting for us. It's sometimes hard to remember that as we sit in our three mm-hmm. office suite here. Mm-hmm. that we have built something that people love. And you know, I think it's an answer to the age-old trouble of where are you going to find your next book that you want to read? I mean, what are your choices that you have right now? Which is mm-hmm. for most people, they ask a friend or family member, right? And they're like, what's your recommendations? They'll go to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million and they'll read the back of every friggin' book in there, trying to hope something sparks an interest. Or they go to Amazon and they read a bunch of Amazon reviews, but they don't know any of these people. They don't know what right. their tastes are. There's no way to really judge whether or not it's going to be successful. And so we said, nobody knows you better than you. So just go ahead and set your preferences. Tell us what you like and then let yourself make those recommendations. Yeah. And the algorithm just builds on that. And so we've been able to sort of give people a fun way to emotionally connect with a book, which is a different experience. We have a staff of writers. Why don't you explain how the writers create these dating profiles for a book?
Yeah, I was going to add that in because we talked about the editors and writers yeah. and what Keisha's doing and what I started doing. But a huge part of what we do is every single book. It's not just the metadata mm-mm. that you're going to find. It's not what's on the back of the cover or the back of the book. We actually create a dating profile for every book in our library.
Yep.
And to me, that's one of those special things that is almost hard to put words to of yep. how incredible it is that with every book, there's something brand new written about the book.
And when you talk about creating a profile, explain this. Like, you basically are giving the book a personality, right?
Yep.
In just a few short questions that are answered.
Absolutely. So every profile has an introduction, which is just 150 characters. And oh my goodness, mm-hmm. getting the gist of a book into a clever 150 characters is a very creative and fun challenge for our writers. And then from there, they have 9 prompts that they answer. So mm-hmm. what are my most attractive traits?
Yep.
Who should swipe right on me? What's the dorkiest thing about me? Where are we going to go for our first date? And then if it goes well, I want you to meet my book parent. You know, so you've got your book mama or your book daddy. And that's where we get a little bit deeper into the author's bio. It's just fun.
Yeah.
You get on the app, you start going through, read these dating profiles for a book completely from the voice of the book.
Yep.
Yeah.
So everything is the book trying to win a date with you.
Yes.
And if you decide that the book deserves a date with you, then you swipe right, you get a DM from the book telling you, if you want to meet up in person or keep it digital, an
yes.
ebook.
That's right.
Or, let it whisper in your ear and that's your audiobook. It's really a whole new way to experience and curl up with a book.
It is. And it's so different because normally you'd be focusing right on the author, or you look at the synopsis of the book. In this case, you're really relying. That's why, Brent, you were talking about this.
Yeah.
It's so critical for these writers. They have done incredible work mm-hmm. in bringing these things to life. And even now you see TikTok videos, you see people posting it going, the whole reason that they've fallen madly in love with the app is because of the way these profiles yeah. have been written. And we've leaned into the cheekiness, the fun, the uh-huh. irreverence. You kind of have to, which, to be transparent on a couple of things, first off, none of us on the team, the four of us, have not created an app before. Not really. So this is a little bit foreign to us. And the fact that you see the results that we are 5 months in is just amazing to us. But the second part was, to the point you were making, Brian, it started off really as a, I think, one little initiative as part of our support for Bookstar PR. It was going to be a podcast,
yes.
right? That initially yeah. is what we were going to do.
That was
the
original
thing. Different name.
Yep.
What was the idea from that? I mean, as we were going through, because again, you were making a point about this is non-traditional marketing. Right. It's not going to be print or radio or right. TV like people think.
Right.
We thought, let's do things differently. But at that time, podcasts were kind of all the rage.
Yep.
So how did that transpire to ultimately become Bookie Call? It's a great name.
Well, the little trivia, the first name was going to be Binder.
Yes.
And we had sort of everything set up to be Binder, you know, leaning into the idea of books being bound and the cheekiness of that and having some fun. And then we discovered that there was actually a tiny dating app created in California named Binder. And so we had to change our trademarks and have the attorneys do all the paperwork over again because we weren't smart enough to just Google it to start. And so we were like, what was funny is Jim had mentioned it like in passing, I think before January, maybe it was right at the beginning of the year.
Mostly because at the end of the year, you and I have always sat yeah. down to talk about what's our next year,
yep.
what kind of business do we want to start. You and I have 4 businesses right now,
yep.
and this was one of the ones we were at the end of the year. What could we do with yes. Bookstar PR to take it to the next level? That
I had the idea of going, let's make it a podcast and we'll make it like a dating show, right? And so, and then he was like, oh, a Bookie Call, right? And we were, he just said it and it was so funny. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. But we sort of thought it was a little too, I mean, it's right on the edge. It's like we are irreverent, but man, that's right there.
Yeah.
And so we were like, well, let's just figure it out. And then I don't know why we thought Binder was less.
Well,
on the edge.
I think Binder, well, because it was like Tinder, Grindr, yes, like you said, yes, somebody had already created something like
yes,
it.
Yes.
But it was also intended to really be a platform for authors to really have another podcast
yeah.
exclusively for us to interview them in the publishing world.
That's right.
It wasn't at all. I mean, we have really taken it to the next level. But yeah. even in with Bookie Call, first off, you and I had never been, either of us, on a dating app.
Right.
So, you know, we yeah. to see we're the two of us sitting around looking
watching
over each
YouTube
other's shoulders,
videos.
Very uncomfortable. I had to clear my history yeah. right away.
I mean, honestly, Nicole was the only one who's ever even had an opportunity to try a dating app in her life. And so we were like, you have to help us understand like how this actually works.
Yes.
But, you know, I think the thing that really was the turning point is when we started Bookstar PR, the one thing that we had sort of decided was that we were only going to do things we could guarantee.
Yeah.
And if we couldn't guarantee it, we weren't going to do it. Because the thing that was most frustrating of hiring a traditional book publicist is they don't guarantee shit. They say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put in our best effort. And you give them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And then you cross your fingers and hope that something comes of it. But nothing is guaranteed. And so when we sort of started to do these different types of promotions and reviews and what we could guarantee and what we couldn't. And then you get into Amazon's world and it's their world and they make the rules and
yep.
you either play by those rules or they take their ball and go home. And that's just the way it is. So we were like, we really need to control the data. If we can control the data, if we can control the ecosystem and not rely on anybody else and can share that data, then any author would be crazy not to want their book in this library. And so that's sort of how it flipped from podcast to app.
Yeah.
Was that when we stopped being able to guarantee some of the things that we initially could because Amazon changed their rules, we decided that this would be the way that we could take ourselves out of the Amazon
yeah.
world completely and not have to rely on them for anything. And now we can just do whatever we want to do and still, you know, have this way to provide really targeted promotion of a book for an author. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I saw the latest numbers on Amazon and it even blew me away. I thought, you know, we've been using some numbers for the last year or so and we are so under what the reality is of the number of books Amazon has. Amazon currently has 33 million books in their library. 33 million books.
Crazy.
So they upload somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 books a day. And so when you know that that's the case, what do you think the odds are of your book as an author hitting that algorithm and being matched to anyone?
Sure.
I mean, for as incredible as their data is, and they know that if you buy Bounty paper towels and, you know, quilted Northern toilet paper, and they have all this data on you and they can forecast what they think you're going to like.
But you can't get this.
You have a better shot of winning the lottery
yeah.
than you do of having your book hit that algorithm. And so for us, it was like, what if we just made it so that we had a curated library of books that there wasn't that much competition, so that we could really shine the light. So if we only have several thousand books as opposed to 30 million books, right, the odds of your book being brought up as a match grow literally by the thousands of percentile,
yeah,
in every category. And so that's sort of the road that we went down.
So as we start to use words like library and match and algorithm, Nicole, walk us through, let's take a step back. How does the app actually work? So if I'm a consumer and I download the app, however I want to get my apps, whether it's iOS or
Android.
Google Play for Android.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does it actually work when I get the thing installed?
Yep.
Like what are the elements of the thing that would make it exciting if I'm just a lover of reading?
Absolutely. So we find that most people that want to download it are those book lovers and or people who are a little jaded by dating apps, and they're ready to determine, I'm kind of over all of that, but I still like the function. I still like that moment of swiping right. I still like having something, you know, a little flirty. Bookie Call comes in and kind of meets that awesome book lover need. And so all you do is download it totally free. No in-app purchasing, no advertising. I mean, it is probably one of the only apps that I've been on that's totally free and doesn't try to sell you things.
Anything.
The whole
yeah,
time.
No advertising to date that we have even internally when you're inside the app.
Right. And so after you download it, you set up a quick... very quick login, just email password. We're not asking you for a ton of information. Just give us email password. And that way, whatever swipes you make, whatever, you know, history becomes yours will save. Mm. And so that way you can log back in and out. Once you're in the app, you're going to come up with 20 genres. We call them categories in the app. And in those 20, you have 10 nonfiction, 10 fiction. And you're going to see a sliding scale. Basically a 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. How much do I like classics? How much do I like self-help? How much do I like horror and sci-fi and romance and YA? We've got all these different options. Slide it wherever. So you can get all the way to a 5 on one you love. If you know that you are never, ever going to read a historical fiction, slide it all the way to the left. And all of a sudden, the app gets this great way of knowing what to match you with. Mm-hmm. And our mascot is Boo. Hopefully we'll introduce you to Boo.
Yes.
On this. But Boo then does Boo's job of bringing up books that he thinks you're really gonna, you know, mesh with and have a good vibe with. And so you go over to the match tab and you're gonna see a profile. And you scroll up on it, and that's where you get the whole dating profile we were talking about. So you can read over the questions. If you get to the bottom of a book that has an audio version, you're even going to get an audio sample.
Right.
So you can sit there and listen to what the narrator sounds like, listen to the voice of your book. Then you decide, am I going to swipe right? Am I going to swipe left? If you swipe left, that means you're not interested, but no problem. Plenty of fish in the sea. If you swipe right, that's when you get that DM. And in the DM, you do get links to purchase the book, but we have plenty of readers who get on and add it to their TBR list. Or maybe they put it in their cart for later, or you know you need a date with that book that night.
That night, yes.
You are going to get on and go ahead and buy it so that you can start that date ASAP.
So in the profile itself, that's where it starts with the matching, because you've decided with the sliding scales, yep, and the categories. But then we built the app so it gets smarter. The algorithm actually gets smarter. If you were to swipe right on something, it knows again, ooh, that is attached to this particular category in whether it's fiction, nonfiction. So again, I think, Brant, to your point, you're way more likely to get matched based off of the number of books. To date, how many books do we have totally in our library?
Almost 2,000.
Almost 2,000. Yep. And so these are publishing houses that have given us a few books. These are independent authors, right, that have said, I'd love to have my book in there, because I also want to talk about all the cool things that can come out of it as an author. Do we have some self-published authors in there as well?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
Probably another great way if you're looking for something non-traditional, especially with the number of downloads, like what you mentioned, Brant, you're,
yep,
starting to put a massive spotlight on your book. But again, I think the whole idea, as it gets smarter and smarter, you're more likely at some point to really see just the books that you're interested in. So you don't waste your time on first dates that are not going to go anywhere.
Right? Absolutely. And I think the app's really an amazing equalizer. So we've got, you know, big time authors that you know their names. We've got authors that are just launching into the business, but they've got amazing books. They're going to be side by side. And nobody's going to say, hey, this is a, you know, top bestseller that you need to get to know. Instead, we're going to say, these are great books that want to date you. So, you know, who are you going to spend time with? We have had people compare it to walking through their bookstore.
Yeah.
And they're walking through the bookstore and they're thinking, who am I going to take home tonight?
Yes. Yeah.
And so you're going through, you're touching the books, you're feeling it, picking it up, reading the back, and kind of having that intimate moment with a book. Yeah. And we don't have any social on the apps. You don't have to worry about, you know, random people messaging you. There's nothing like that. It's just you and the book.
Yeah.
And then you get to decide, you know, who am I going to spend time with?
And I know in the app world and the website world, it's about, from people who develop these things, it's about how long can I get somebody to stay in that ecosystem. And I think what we're finding is, and again, such credit to our writers, our editors, that these profiles are written so well that some people, without really spending a lot of time and going to the cart, they're reading these profiles because they're so well done. It makes it interesting. I think, Brant, you and I talked about the first books that were put in the library. One was on table tennis and one was on Jeff Bezos' wife. And it was like, I would have probably never read either of those books, but because of the way the profiles were written, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm interested now in learning more about table tennis. It's crazy, right?
It's interesting. You know, it's proof of concept in a lot of ways for us. So the real interesting data to look at is what people say they want to read as a preference, and then what they actually swipe right on that they're interested in purchasing.
Yeah.
And so there are certain categories that rank really low on the preference side of them saying, I'm not really interested in this, but they end up in our top 10 on the swipes. Well, the only reason that that happens is because our writers do such a phenomenal job of making books sound irresistible that they go, oh my gosh, I have to read that book. That is exactly why we do it the way we do it, is that for some books, they simply get undiscovered because it's not your cup of tea. It's something that is a weird genre that doesn't fit into one of Amazon's 8 bajillion, you know, books about grasshopper feet that are launched on a Wednesday at 7:30. You know, it's difficult to compete with that. And so, you know, for us, what I love is that we treat every book exactly the same, whether it was launched 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago. So for authors who are, you know, especially self-pub authors, but it doesn't really matter. But if you know, many of us who have done books, you know, you've got a pallet full of books in your garage. It's in a warehouse somewhere. You had to order 10,000 books to get the best rate. And so you did, and you sold 5, and now you've got 5,000 books left over. And what am I going to do with this? That's now 5 years old. You should be writing a new book, and how are you going to compete? You know, all these things start to factor in. And with Bookie Call, we take that old book and we make it new.
Yeah.
And so it gets introduced to an entirely new group of people who have no idea that it was written 5 years ago. And does it really matter if the book is that good? They should still want to read it.
Yeah.
So that for us, whether you are, you know, one of the big 5 publishers, or you are a self-pub author yourself, we can provide the eyes that your book deserves, no matter when it was actually published.
And so for a consumer, you know, the app is pretty self-sufficient. I think there's one element, which is really kind of the namesake, the Bookie Calls, which I knew when we switched from Binder to Bookie Call as the company's name. And, you know, I'll be honest, and we've talked about this before in other platforms, you know, that was a little irreverent for me. I was like, whoa, okay, how's that? You know, because I think people have figured out by now,
yes,
Booty Call, Bookie Call, but in the book vein. And I was a little bit nervous, a little bit because of my faith-based background, but also I thought, how will Christian authors respond to this? And what we have found is they're like our biggest fans. Yeah. They also lean into it because it's not so over the top that they couldn't feel represented well, but they are looking for people to put some eyeballs on the book. And I think that irreverence and the fun with just the name alone has really served us well. But talk to us, maybe Nicole, starting off. What is a bookie call? Because it isn't just that you get matched with these books. There's something that happens to you a couple times during the week, right?
Yeah. On Wednesdays and Saturdays, Boo sends out a bookie call. And it comes around 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're on the Pacific side, you're getting it a little later. But it's a push notification that literally just says, you up?
You up? It's so great.
It's so classic. We've had people come to us and say that they really genuinely get that dating app feel when they get this push notification. And, you know, it just says, you know, attractive, desirable book, in search of a curious reader, looking for an enticing book up. You click on it.
A book up. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yes.
You click on it, it takes you into the app, and Boo is there to introduce you to three books that fall in your genre.
Yep.
So instead of, you know, seeking them out, these Wednesday and Saturday bookie calls are actually going straight to the reader and saying, you know, you don't even have to come to us. We'll come to you and, you know, just give us a little time. And then you get to go and pick your book up. So any of those three, it says click to meet me, you click the link, then you go to the profile and you can get to know it a little bit more. Then you decide what to do. No, but, you know, there's no pushing on this app. And I think a lot of people take a lot of comfort in that it really can just be fun. I've had some people tell me that instead of scrolling, you know, other social media, like they used to do, they now just go and scroll these apps because it's happy and fun and it makes them feel kind of wanted and loved. And there's not any of this, I don't know what I'm going to see when I'm scrolling. You know exactly what you're going to get, and it's going to be a great book.
It's like obviously our main moniker and t-shirts that most of us are wearing today about people sucking. You know, people suck, date a book, you know, and we're having some fun with that because obviously people that have gone through particularly dating apps that have not had good experiences, you're not going to go wrong with a book.
Yeah.
And to the point that you were just making, Nicole, you're really matched up in your genres. The three books that show up, I think one of them is really slided to probably whatever your main preference, whatever that category is. But you're not going to go wrong. Even on the weekly bookie calls, you're going to be matched with something that it would have taken you forever to find on Amazon or roaming around in a bookstore, Barnes & Noble. So I don't, why did we pick two and why Wednesday and Saturdays? Is there a rationale behind that?
I think it's designed for the laziest of readers, right?
So Thank you.
It's like, even if you can't be bothered to lift a finger, we're going to send you three potential book ups the entire time, right? So that you don't have to sit there and scroll and scroll and scroll. So the idea would be, you know, we picked two, you know, Wednesday night is hump day.
Oh my gosh. Brant. You did not just go there.
How can I not?
Did you just Brant. Make that up?
I did. Wednesday night is midweek. So we always figure people need to pick me up midweek. At least I know we do around here. It gets pretty intense at times. And so you need to sort of be made aware of that the week is half over and let's continue to push forward. So we figured that's a good one. And then on the weekends, some people go out and they're going out on dates and hanging out with friends. But what about the person that's not? Mm-hmm. What, they're sitting at home trying to figure out what they're going to do. And for a lot of them, at least our users, they curl up with a great book.
Yeah.
And so it's like the perfect time for them to say, we've got you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's fun. You know, they get it. For as irreverent as the namesake is, and the sort of tongue in cheek that we present most of our marketing through, it is very well written.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have an app called Bookie Call and not have an elevated experience.
Sure.
And so for us, from the look, the feel, even the, you know, there's no nefarious cussing for no reason. There's no, like, we just don't do it. There's no need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We love words, and there are lots of words to choose from, and you don't just have to be, you know, obnoxious and offensive in anyone's face. We don't judge book for content, but we do judge books based on how well they're written. And if they're loaded with errors or they're just really poorly written, they're not going to appear in our library. And we're not sad about that. That is just do a better job. If you're a writer, you should care enough to get your book professionally edited, right? To do the steps necessary to compete with the big boys and girls that are out there doing this for a living and making millions of dollars, because if it's that good, it deserves that level of effort from you. And as Jim and I have been both self-pub and now with a publisher, we've sort of been on both sides of this. Even the self-pub books, we spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to do it right, to have somebody that is not a, you know, a friend who likes to read, who happens to get an A in English. You know, you got to hire a professional editor. You've got to have somebody proofread. You got to have a content person to make sure that the stuff makes sense and that there's a line through your entire story that, that takes people on a journey. And so, you know, all of those things are so important to us. We try, you know, to honor the First Amendment the best that we can, even if it's not our cup of tea. You're not going to really find that many offensive books, if any offensive books, in our library, because that's not what we're about. We're trying to get people to escape their world and dive into a great book that takes them away and provides them with a few hours of reprieve of whatever their life looks like at this moment, good or bad. And that requires a certain kind of book. And if the book is, you know, very controversial or stuff, it's not helping us. It's not helping our users. People will know that that book exists, whether it's in Bookie Call or not. Go find it, go buy it somewhere else. But for what we do, we're really about, you know, providing that experience, that, that elevated experience that makes you feel good about it and want to do it again. And so, you know, that's sort of where we have tried to line this up in spite of the cheekiness of some of the ways in which we market.
I want to talk about some of these things going forward. You know, TikTok, we have a podcast version. I'm going to talk about the boo. Let's talk about the character. But I know Nicole's got to go here, because Nicole's main job now, in addition to all the awesome things she does, she's on the phone talking to publishers and trying to get them to get more books in there. I know she's got to go make some more phone calls, but we love having you on board here. And I think there's no way that the app could be where it is if it wasn't for you. And I know just the talented people that are in your staff. We're just really thrilled with that. So go,
did
go
you
grab some
ever
more
know that you're my hero?
Are we?
Yeah. I send her, trust me, I try to make sure she gets enough accolades and you know, adulation from me, because she is amazing. I tell her that all the time, even ad nauseum, because I don't want her to forget it. You know,
yeah. I'm a little
you
bit
guys
jealous.
Are the best.
I wish she'd say something for me.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I'll work
on. Did I stomp on your compliment?
I'm sorry. Brant, say look, nice things to Jim
look,
too.
When he does something to deserve it, I will say I will give him a nice compliment.
Listen,
right.
You know my love language. No, for sure. We know you've got some things to do, and we're going to take this to the next level.
Okay.
And you're so stellar.
Well, you guys are amazing. I love what we're doing. I love working with our authors and our readers. And if you all need anything, if you're listening, just get in touch with us, whether you're on the reader side or the author side. Let's figure out how to bring it all together. And at the end of the day, I think that we're all matchmakers. So
that's right.
Here we go.
Star. Boom. So we talked a little bit about the consumer. Brant, talk a little bit about on the author side. I mean, what are some of the things that they can get as they put their book in the library?
From an author's perspective, there's a couple of different things I think that are really unique to what we're doing. So getting your book in the library is step one. You know, we have a sort of a metaphor around here that we use, and it's really everybody's job on staff here to get people to our front porch.
Yeah.
And so if we are in the house of Bookie Call, everyone's job is to get people to the front porch. That there's only one front door, as our great friend Tamsin Webster, who wrote the book Find Your Red Thread, we talk about this ad nauseum. She's like, you can only have one front door. If you get somebody to your porch and there are multiple front doors, you're confusing them and not telling them what has to happen. And so everybody knows, get people to the porch, and that front door is put your book in the library. That's it. That's number one. That's the best way that you are going to experience what we have to do. And once that happens, once you're in our house, well, we have lots of things to show you once you're in the house. And so whether that's you want to be book of the day, you want to be podcast of the day, you want to have your own Bookie Call, maybe you want to do a one night stand where you're the only book that gets pushed out to our user base. There are so many fun, different ways to promote your book within the app to get extra eyeballs on it that, you know, we wanted to try to make it as affordable as possible. And the thing that we try to tell authors all the time, we talk in increments of, years, yeah, not in increments of weeks or days. And it's really hard for a lot of people to wrap their brains around. When you are out promoting a book, it's like, well, I'm going to pay this money to be included in this newsletter one time.
Yeah.
It's a one shot, yeah, right? Or I'm going to pay to do, you know, this run of BookBub ads or Amazon ads, and I'm going to pay for this banner, and it's going to get X amount of impressions, and it's going to get X amount of clicks, and maybe people will be there, but I'm competing with whatever else is on that page and the other 100 things that are clickable, you know, on any one of these websites. With our app, it's all you and nothing but you. There is nothing to compete with. We force people into a decision of yes or no. Mm-hmm. We present them with your book. They go, yep, I want to date that, or nope, not my cup of tea. And I don't know any other place that can give you that level of focus. And we charge $299 for a year's worth of matching. So when you think we have 250,000 downloads and thousands of people who join every single month on top of that, every time somebody joins the app, if they select a preference that your book is listed under, your book gets matched to them. It's one of, yep, the first things they see. And the idea of it constantly being matched week after week after week after week for an entire year means your book is going to have exposure to tens of thousands of readers in your genre looking for your type of book. I don't know any place that you can get that level of focus and targeted marketing for $300.
Right.
It's ridiculous. It's honestly too cheap. We've been told that by a lot of our advisors. It's too cheap, but you and I have been there.
Yeah.
We have been there, and we want to make this affordable for somebody. And so you can spend your $300 or $400 or $500 on a banner ad somewhere, or you can constantly be matched with this custom profile that now we have shareable profiles. Yeah. So people can share your book from the app. There are just so many incredible things that make it unique that there's no reason why you shouldn't be looking at doing this first and then adding on whatever your budget allows.
And so what I'm starting to see now in the world of TikTok, I mean, that certainly is a place that everyone seems to be.
Yep.
We have started to play in that space and it's been very successful. So I know that people that already have books that are talking about it and maybe even doing reviews are in that book talk world, you know, the book talkers out there, but they're starting to gravitate. They're, yeah, now starting to discover Bookie, yeah, Call. And now we have all of these incredible TikTok videos about Bookie Call. Yeah. And a lot of them are just flat out organic and how in love they are with how this thing works. How did that come about? Is that something that we strategically did? Or again, did we just wind up having a lot of luck with an influencer that grabbed a hold of it?
Yes. And I think it's a little bit of both. There are certain influencers that we are just massive fans of and have fallen madly in love with, as, mm-hmm, you like to say. It is something that we have our finger on the pulse of both BookTok and Bookstagram. We know,
yeah,
you know, who is able to move books and eyeballs, and we know who doesn't. We know who is real, and we know who, you know, has bought fake followers. And so for us, the ones that fit our vibe and understand that we are in it to sort of have this diversity and inclusion so that all voices are represented in our app, both by authors and by readers. That to us means that we need to be looking at that same diversity when it comes to what we would call certified matchmakers. So yeah, our goal is to find a certified matchmaker influencer for every one of the genres, the 20 different genres that we represent. And they provide you with their picks of the month, and you can not only find those books in our library, but actually search the tag of the influencer within our app to see what they have recommended if you are a fan like we are. So, you know, there are people like Easy Cat, our friend Jason on TikTok, who has, you know, 500,000 plus followers, who him and his husband did just the most amazing video of a sort of endorsing Bookie Call that we have ever seen. It was so good. So, so good. And so, you know, we have just fallen madly in love with him and the work that he's done there. You know, we continue with like YA Allegiance. We have a very large YA database. It's sort of our user base skews a little bit younger.
Yep.
And so that YA category is the hottest category in publishing right now. And so, you know, we lean heavy in there for making sure we have all the greatest books, both discovered and undiscovered. So, you know, we try to partner with these different influencers that can really drive people to the app to have that sort of different experience. You know, for them, it's more credibility. It's yeah. we can show the data. We can tell you how many people you actually influenced, as opposed to you hope that somebody scrolls through their feed and sees this particular post or video or whatever it might be. And you know, for us, we can judge by the download, by the unique link that they would share. So, mm-hmm. so we've really tried to be smart about who we partner with and how we partner with them. We are about ready to launch our first ambassador program for the Uber fan, not necessarily an influencer. Mm-hmm. They are included, of course, but this is really for just somebody who loves Bookie Call and loves the idea behind the app. They can just share about what they've read and what they found and earn t-shirts and coffee mugs and everything you can possibly imagine that we can lean into that sort of literary swag that we yeah. that we love to provide.
And believe me, that merchandise is hot. People are loving it, both on you know, the audience side, but also on the author side. You know, you're talking about these matchmakers and all the genres, but the ultimate, the original matchmaker, the character, the mascot of Bookie Call,
yes,
is this great character we call Boo.
Yes.
Talk to me about Boo and, you know, if they haven't already looked at it, what does he look like? Mm-hmm. And how is he a big part of our business?
So you know, when we first sort of were coming up with a logo for Bookie Call, we have like this little face with a monocle, a mustache that is an open book, and a derby hat. And the idea was, again, in this elevated experience, you know, in our back of our heads, I think we had the Monopoly guy sort yep. of running back there. But the idea was, you know, here's a character that we can create. The monocle being there for looking and finding and reading books. The open book mustache, of course, to show where we really are. And this derby hat, which throws it back to the 20s, which really the whole design behind the app is a speakeasy. So if you are in the app and you are looking at the colors and the fonts and the feel, we developed this to feel like a speakeasy from the 20s.
And so, the website too, by the way.
Website as well, yep. We just are completely revamped the website to have that same vibe. And, you know, the original idea of making this character's name Boo was to teach people to say Bookie Call and not Bookie Call.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to say Bookie Call. The interesting thing of when we really took this name, for as much as we were a little scared with the irreverence, we found ourselves in this complete niche within the app world because they don't allow for online gambling things.
Yeah.
So the word bookie really doesn't yeah. exist hardly at all in the app world. So we sort of carved ourselves this space unintentionally, but we wanted people to know that it's Bookie Call and not Bookie Call. And so that's why we created Boo, to get people to give it that ooh instead of ugh in yeah. its pronunciation.
And we've had a lot of fun with Boo. You know, I think you went out and purchased, I can't remember, several hundred derby hats, yes. monocles, and yes. mustaches, yes. which we then sent out to a lot of bookstagrammers in the Instagram community, some TikTokers, yep. some of our Uber fans, especially when we were launching in September of 2021. And oh my gosh, the videos that we got back of
amazing.
People, first off, trying to wear all of that yes. stuff. And wear a t-shirt that say people suck data book.
That's right.
Was just a hoot for us, but it really did create a buzz. And again, I think it just helped us get to that 250,000 very quickly, which yep. is just, it's really hard to do in the app world. And this is an untapped category,
yep.
you know, and even now I still hear that people are amazed that nobody had combined trying to discover a book with this online dating world.
Yep.
And boy, there are so many similarities between yeah. the two of those. And the fact that nobody had done it, I think we were just, you know, we caught lightning in a bottle early on. But, you know, we will eventually have a Boo kit yes. in the merchandise area. You want a derby hat, a monocle, and a mustache to dress up? Hey, we got that too.
Halloween's coming.
I'm waiting for the day that Halloween, that is the most worn
Boo. That's yeah. right. You know, it's funny. The idea of sort of putting this all together and getting people out there. I laughed that everyone feels like they have to have an English accent the minute they put this stuff on.
Yes.
For whatever particular reason.
Easy Cat did. It
was He did. That's right. And his husband did as well, and it was awful, and he loved it and totally made fun of him. Do not use that voice. But the idea for us was, it's such a proven platform. I think 3 out of 5 marriages now are people who have met online or through some sort of dating service. And so we know the psychology works. So the interesting thing for us is we just went and took nine actual questions from real dating apps and just wrapped that review in the answers to those questions. So we're using the same exact psychology, the same reason that you would go, gosh, I really want to go on a date with that person. And interesting enough, the before we even launched, we did a study of 1,100 people of all ages and asked them a whole bunch of questions to see whether or not there was a space in the market for this. And they all said, we asked them, you know, what would you prefer, going on a first date with someone or starting a new book? And it was about equal.
Yeah.
And then when we asked them, what do they expect out of that experience? The answers were almost identical.
Yeah.
And that for us really told us that there is definitely space in this market, but the space actually becomes the biggest challenge we have, because what keyword are you going to search for what we do?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't one.
None.
Right? And so we sort of have carved a new genre of app that becomes our biggest struggle. So that's why we lean so heavy on our Uber fans and influencers, because it's something that you have to see, right?
Yeah.
You have to hear about it. You have to understand how it works, because no one is going into Android or the Apple Store searching for book dating, right?
Yes.
They're just not doing it. So we sort of, by creating our own category, we've created our biggest marketing challenge at the same time.
So I'm glad we talked about Boo first, because I think to try and talk about the podcast, because Bookie Call does have a podcast version.
Yep.
I think to try and explain the podcast format in the show without understanding Boo would do it a disservice. But it is a big part of what we do. And we have people that, you know, particularly authors that say, I don't want to just be book of the day. I don't want to just be in the library. You mentioned this earlier. I have the opportunity to be podcast of the day. What is the podcast? Like, what do you get with that? Because that's probably also a little bit different than what people are used to.
It is. You know, we basically wanted to provide something for people to listen to on their 27-minute commute to work every day, right? That's the average. And so we were like, can we figure out a way to do this? And so what we did was we took the actual written profiles and we hired voice actors to bring these books to life. And so Boo is the host who interviews them and asks them the 9 questions. And then the dating profile is literally read by the voice actor. So each one of these episodes is only about 4.5-5 minutes long, right? It's not very long at all, but for the person looking for that next book on their drive, they can burn through 4 or 5 mm-hmm. different books to listen to and decide if one of those might be their next date. And so we've been doing that since we launched. We've built it up now over 5,000 listeners, and they really just enjoy these sort of putting a voice to the profiles themselves. Has really been fun.
And just so we're clear to everybody, this is the fictional character of Boo interviewing the book, not the author.
Right.
Right. And so there's between these voice actors and Boo, it is an experience. There's music in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know what comes to your head when you're listening to this thing, what you conjure up, but
dim the lights, bubble baths.
Yeah. You're going to go there when you listen to a Bookie Call podcast, but to hear a book actually be represented in an auditory way is just, it's amazing. What's as we wrap up here, what's the future of Bookie Call? I mean, we've talked about events. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be some other cool things that we could do with it. What are your thoughts with that?
I think there's a couple of things that we would look to do in the next, you know, say 12 to 24 months. One would be live events. So once the world is sort of settled down and everyone's gotten their 6th booster shot, we will find a way to drive people back to brick and mortar, right? So for us, we want to help try to support both indie bookstores. I mean, Barnes & Noble, for all intents and purposes now, is the largest independent bookstore in the country. But the idea would be can we build community around books, right? And so that's our goal. And sometimes we would do that by speed dating. So our goal would be to do speed dating events at bookstores all over the country where you go with your friends and you just make a night of it. And we feature 10 books that you go and scan your QR code and you can listen, read their profile, listen to a little audio clip and decide whether or not you're going to take that book on a date. And you got 5 minutes and you go to the next book and then you go to the next book. And the idea would be, you know, you go there for an hour or so, you can listen to every book we've got and take your books up to the counter and allow that merchant to make their money for that night and keep them in business. And for us, it's a chance to become sort of the authority on where you're going to find your next book. But, you know, we want to try to unite the community and there's enough to go around for everyone. And so for us, that's really what it is about, driving people back to brick and mortar to support their local shops, no matter where that might be or what they are. And so I think that's one way on some of the future of what we're going to do, being able to do that via location services. So we'll be able to alert you if there's a, you know, speed dating event within 10 miles of where you are, you'd get a notification. Same with author events, right? I mean, that would be great if you knew your favorite author was going to be doing a book signing 10 miles from your house. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And so those will be some of the things that we do. And then we've sort of thrown around this, you know, the two hottest sort of publishing areas in the moment are cookbooks and children's books, both of which we do not represent in the app for a variety of reasons.
For obvious reasons.
Right. I think the children's one is easier to understand. And the book one, what are you going to say about this baby, this?
Let me talk about some jambalaya. Yes.
Probably this. You've never had, head of lettuce like this. There's not much we can do with that. But on the children's side, we feel like we can take the framework of what we have built from an algorithm and sort of matching capability of books and create a version for children's books. Yeah. One of the things that you and I have talked about extensively is, you know, the earlier we can introduce kids to books, the better off they are. It's been proven time and time and time again. You know, the more that we get them reading quickly, the more they take on learning themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's great. And we want that to be the case. But what about that ability to connect with a parent, a loved one, a friend, or whatever, who's reading that book and creating that memorable moment of sitting down and reading your child a book or reading a friend a book?
Yeah.
That's great. But what if we could make the selection of the book that you're going to read just as incredible as an experience as reading the book itself? That's what we would do in the children's market, is create an experience of choosing the book that's as compelling as the book itself. And so I think that's
fun.
That would be the future. Let's get over this giant hump first.
Let's focus on this one first.
And then we'll go down that road.
I think people that are regular listeners and fans of ours know, you know, you and I make our living as keynote speakers. We're authors. You know, between our multiple businesses, we have Certified Rockstar, which is our training program, which you and I do together. Yep. And it's very music oriented, a lot of fun. But it's a leadership training program. We obviously have this podcast, Thoughts That Rock, which is our free weekly leadership podcast, and Bookstar PR, which is really now more of a PR wing more than anything else. I mean, because of all the issues that you and I have talked about, particularly with the way the publishing world is, we've made some changes to it. But boy, Bookie Call, it's just we haven't been this excited in a long time, and we've had a huge run and laugh about a lot of the things we do, but this one is just so exciting because you're starting to do what you hear on Shark Tank all the time. You're filling in a gap and a need that people have really had for a long time. I can't find a great book. What is my next great read without doing all the jumping through the hoops that you talked about earlier, Brant? And I think by not only providing that, but making it edutaining, as we like to say, it's just been incredible to see that this thing was launched in September, and here we are recording right now in March.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're close to 300,000 downloads of the thing, and it's just starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So I've just had a tremendous lot of fun doing this with you. Our team is, they are true rock stars. I mean, people don't know it, even though we've got this great group of writers, it really is a small group. Yeah. There's only, I think five or six of us at any given time in the office. We've got a few people that work from home, but it's a small group, and I feel blessed for doing the work that we're doing and having fun with it.
100%, man. Agreed. And you know, the future of Bookie Call and what it's doing to sort of change how people discover books, I think, is just the beginning. And the next year or two here is going to be an incredible ride.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll probably just end with this, and I think you already know it. People suck.
Date a book.
Bye-bye.
Hey, rock stars. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode.
Yeah, and if you're interested in having Brant or me or both of us speak at your event, whether as a webinar for a virtual event or in person as a conference keynote, contact us directly at thoughtsthatrock.com.
Until next time,
rock on!
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.